Our text is this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers with the prophets, hath in these last days, and the word last days there do not mean the last days just before the coming of the Lord. It means the last days that started at Pentecost. The prophet Joel had said that in the last days, and when Peter stood to preach, he said, this is that spoken by Joel the prophet. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. Now that means the age in which we're living. He hath spoken unto us by his Son. I want to speak tonight on the subject, God is talking, if you just take time to listen. God is talking, if you just take time to listen. Now before I speak, I want to say that I hesitate to speak on this subject because it may make you think that maybe I'm some kind of a special Christian, and I'm not. I made mention this morning in my sermon who's a good Christian and who isn't. I do this at the expense of seeming a little bit spooky, but I want to say this, God does speak. God does speak. Tonight I want to talk to you about God speaking. I want you to give us undivided attention. You need to hear what he has to say. But most of us are not listening to him. Sure, he said, I would obey God if he'd speak to me. I'd be glad to obey God if I could hear his voice. How does God speak to me? How can I know he's speaking? First, let me say, as I said a while ago, God does speak. God does speak. The problem is, we do not hear. Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The reason man doesn't hear God, ladies and gentlemen, is not because God's not speaking. It's because man's not listening. And the reason man is not listening, usually, is because man doesn't have an ear to hear. Let he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I want to make four statements before I get into the main message. Statement number one, and this sounds a little spooky to you, but I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't lie to you behind this pulpit. If I've ever told anything in the 27 years and 3 months I've been your preacher, behind this pulpit it wasn't true. I do not know what it is. And it was certainly sincerely told if it wasn't true as so as the truth. I've never purposely told an untruth. And tonight, I say this honestly and sincerely, the depth of my heart. I hear God speak as plainly as I hear you speak. Please don't think I'm patting myself on the back. I'm not a model Christian. Make no pretense of it. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I hear God speak just as plainly as I hear you speak. Statement number two, you may too, but you must develop your spiritual senses. I do not hear God speak with these ears. These ears are pretty poor things to hear with. What these ears can hear is very limited. You see, our ears, like the rest of our bodies, are frail, just as our eyes are frail. There are things that are here in this room tonight that our eyes cannot see. And there are noises that go all about us all the time that our ears cannot hear. I said first, I hear God speak as plainly as I hear you speak. I said second, you may too, but you must develop your spiritual senses. Number three, our ears cannot hear everything. I've used this little illustration several times lately. But I have in my office a little machine. It's got a little light flashing on and off. Little machine is supposed to be making a noise. I don't know if it is not. Instructions said it does. It's supposed to keep the rats away. But of course, it has not been by my office for months now. But supposed to keep the rats away. The mice. Now then, there is a noise. I mean, that, this is what the mice tell me. There is a noise, they say. I can't hear it. Now I have ears, but my ears can't hear all the noises. Did you know a puppy dog can hear noises you don't hear? I'm saying, we're almost idolaters. We're almost self-idolaters. There can't be any noise unless these little feeble ears we have can hear it. There can't be anything to see unless these little feeble eyes. Well, I want to tell you that our ears are part of a depraved body. And our eyes are part of a depraved body. And there are noises that other creatures can hear that we cannot hear. Statement number four. Our eyes cannot see everything. Now, let me illustrate. When I was in, now, I'm not totally colorblind. I'm 5% colorblind. I can tell colors. Now, when I look at that purple drape up there, I can tell that's red. But I don't see it like you see it. It's red to me, but it's not the same thing you see. I can look at this carpet and tell it's gold. I can look at the walls and tell they're sort of a yellow gold. But I don't see what exactly the same shades that you see. Because I have eyes that are not like. How many of you have some color blindness? All right. Most all the people who do are men. Very few women are colorblind. When I went in the paratroopers, and well, first I tried to get in the Naval Air Force, and they said, we're going to give you the colorblind test. They put a chart there, a bunch of little old round blotches of color. I mean, little old white round doojiggers of color, hundreds of them on a page. And I was always worried about it because I'd heard I was partially colorblind. Ah, but I'll tell you what. I looked, he said, tell me a number there. Well, I could see an 8 just as plain as the nose on your face. He said, you see an 8 there? I said, sure. He said, trace it. I traced it. He said, I can't see it. Well, I said, you're colorblind. Now, he could see another number there. Now, I could see different colors. But because now I could see some, I couldn't see the number he saw. In fact, I think he's lying. But he told me he saw another number there. And he told me he could not see the number I saw. So now I have good eyes. He has good eyes. But there's some things he can see I can't see, and there's some things I can see that he cannot see. Remember the story in the life of Elisha? When the enemy came and Elisha's servant got scared, they came to the city of Dothan. I mentioned it the other day in a sermon. And Elisha's servant came and said to Elisha, he said, the enemy has encompassed the whole city. They're going to kill us. Elisha kept on doing what he's doing, didn't even look up much. And the servant said, Master, did you hear me? The enemy has come. They found out that God's been telling you their plan of attack. And they're coming to get you, and they'll get me. Elisha didn't seem bothered. He said, Master, you listen to me. Elisha looked up and said, God, show him. And the servant looked up, and there were horses and chariots and armies all around the city of Dothan. Now, they were there before the servant saw them. But the servant could not see them. Now, look, There are things in this room now, real things that you cannot see. There are angels right here in this room. In fact, there's one right there. And you see it? Then there are demons here in this room. A bunch of them are sitting right back there right now. Ouch. And do you know that in World War I, in in Mons, in Mons, France. It has been verified many times that when the Allied forces were about to lose the war, that an angel came, and that angel drove back the German forces in World War I and turned the tide of the war. Now, hundreds of soldiers told that story. And what did God do? God allowed them to be able to see what was already there. Open mine eyes that I may see visions of life, light thou hast for me. Open mine ears, the Bible says. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not trying to be spooky, but I'm on as scriptural ground right here as I'm preaching about John 3:16. Our eyes are depraved. There are things that these eyes cannot see. Our ears are depraved, and there are voices and sounds that these ears cannot hear. There are scents that these noses cannot smell. Ask a hound dog. Ask the police department. They'll get some dog and train him, and he'll follow the scent. Did you ever see a man with his nose to the ground following the scent? I've seen a man with his nose to the grindstone with a wife over him at the club, but now, the truth is, that dog can smell things you cannot smell. There are scents that you cannot smell. I'm saying our senses are depraved. So, all that to say, God speaks. Now, if you hear God speak, you're going to have to develop spiritual senses, because God speaks in spiritual ways. I'm going to give you 7 words tonight, just one after the other, and just one syllable words to tell you how God speaks and how you can hear Him. Word number one, look. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That word declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Did you hear me? You know one reason why you don't hear God? You don't look at nature. Moses would not have been called of God if he hadn't, and wouldn't have had the burning bush if he hadn't been out in the desert. If Moses had been down the loop, he wouldn't have seen the burning bush. I'm saying that Moses saw something that he could not have seen if he hadn't been out in nature. The wise men who came to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh would not have been able to come to the Christ child if they hadn't been looking at the sky. They hadn't been noticing the beauties of the heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. You know why the old Christians heard things we don't hear? Because they saw nature. You go out and look. But didn't Jesus say, consider the lily? And he said, consider the sparrow. And he said, consider the raven. He could have been talking to you. You haven't seen a sparrow lately. You're too busy looking at concrete and asphalt and the box to look at nature. You haven't seen a raven lately. You haven't seen a sunset lately. You haven't seen a sunrise lately. You haven't noticed the North Star lately. You haven't noticed the moon lately. You haven't noticed the Milky Way lately. You haven't noticed the Big Dipper lately. You haven't noticed the Little Dipper lately. You haven't noticed the weeping willow lately. You haven't noticed God's nature lately. I mean, God's got to speak so loudly, He's got to slap you over the face in the autumn time before you ever see a tree. I get a little upset if you say, oh, aren't the trees beautiful in the autumn? Yeah, they are in the summertime, too. Yeah, and they are in the springtime, too. I mean, God didn't put the tree down here in the fall and dig it up and then put it replanted again next fall. I'm saying that God's people do not look at God's handiwork enough. And I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee you. You spend 30 minutes a day. Oh, I haven't got time. Oh, you do too. You watch the box 3 hours a day. Don't talk to me about having got time. If I've got time, you got time. Take your video VCR and throw it away. Turn the box off. Get out in the woods somewhere and find out there's a God in heaven. And look at His nature and look what He's made and examine His trees and examine His sunrise and examine His rainbow and examine His sunset and examine His moon and examine His stars and examine His flowers and examine His grass and examine His tree. Listen, oh, but you say, preacher, trees aren't pretty now. Listen, I think they're beautiful. I think the leafless trees are beautiful. I mean that. I love the trees in the wintertime, and I go in the woods in the wintertime every day that I'm home. And if I'm anywhere where I can get my hands on the steering wheel of a car, I'll get out in the woods every day of my life. Why? Because the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. God is speaking if you just listen. He's talking to you. Secondly, not only look to hear God, but do. Do. John 7:17, our Savior said, if any man will do my will, he shall know my doctrine. Now listen carefully. If any man will do my will, he shall know my doctrine. Now wait a minute. He's not talking there about if you have had his will revealed and you have done it, you'll know his doctrine. No. He's saying, if any man is willing to do my will, no matter what it is, I'll reveal it to him. What he's saying? There are two types of Christians along this line. One Christian says, I want to know what you want me to do so I can decide whether or not to obey. You're not supposed to obey commandments. You're supposed to obey God. You're not supposed to take God's commandment and decide what you think about His commandment. You're supposed to take God and decide what you think about God. There's a second Christian that says, I'll obey whatever you tell me. First Christian says, I'll obey your commandment if I believe in your commandment. Second Christian says, I'll obey whatever you say because I'm not obeying your commandments, I'm obeying you. Faith is the knowledge of a person. Sight is the perception of a thing. Faith obeys a person. Sight obeys a command. I don't obey God's commandments, I obey God. I've decided whatever He says, if I know what it is, I'll do it. Now, that's why God tells me what to do. Now, what you do, so many of you, you take, when God leads you somewhere, you consider it, and you decide whether or not to obey a commandment. But that's not what God wants. And that's why God doesn't speak. I oftentimes say to young person, people that come to my office, they sit to the house, I came from a senior appointment. Now, most of them come. I don't mean to be unkind, but it's true. Most of them don't come to find out advice. They come to tell me what they're going to do. And to be quite frank with you, I'm glad to see them, and I'm not wasting my time because I'm glad to spend some time with them. But as far as my helping them concerned, I'm not going to help them because they've decided what they're going to do. And if they say, I'll consider what you advise, that's where most of us are with God. I'll consider what you advise. And if I agree with what you advise me to do, and if I agree with your commandment, I'll do it. Now, God is not interested in a bunch of Christians obeying His commandment. God's interested in a bunch of Christians have confidence enough in Him to say, Lord, you do what I say. That's what He's saying. He said, if any man will do my will, he shall know it, or my doctrine. What He's saying is, I won't speak to you if you promise me you'll do whatever I'm going to say. And the reason a lot of us don't hear God, we are not willing to do anything He says. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what
what you want me to do, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Now, God said, you want to hear me speak? And you decide that you'll do whatever I say before I say it. God's commandments are not for human scrutinization. And God withholds further orders till human beings decide not to scrutinize his commandments, but scrutinize his person and decide whether or not he is deserving of your obedience regardless what God tells you to do. God says, I don't speak until you decide that you're going to do whatever I'm going to say. Word number three. Call. Call. Word number one, look. God is speaking through the heavens and nature. Word number two, do. You be willing to do anything he says. Obey a person, not a command. By the way, that's what friendship's all about. That's what friendship's all about. I'm your friend. I have confidence in you. That settles it. I mean, I'm on your side. Two and two's four, sunrise east and sets in the west, and I'm on your side. I'm your friend. I trust you, and I trust my God. I know him, and I trust him. I believe this is true tonight. I believe that God told me tonight to go to the North Pole and spend my life there in the North Pole in the circle there. As best I know, I'd go. Now, God speaks to me. Well, you say, well, Brother House, why does God speak to you and not to me? One reason is, it's already settled, I'm willing to do what he says. Word number three, call. It's very simple. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll answer thee. There it is. Say, how's God speak? You not call him. Call to me. What he's saying is, you talk to me and I'll talk to you. But you're not talking to him. Most of you haven't talked that many minutes to him today. You know it's the truth. And here's the discouraging thing. You're the best Christians in the whole area. Think what the others are like. I mean, the average Sunday school teacher in his church hasn't talked to God 5 minutes all day. And the average deacon hasn't talked to God 5 minutes all day. And probably the average college student hasn't talked to God 5 minutes all day. No wonder God doesn't say, I'll answer thee. He says, call unto me and I'll answer thee. God says, I'll speak when you speak. You don't speak to me, I don't speak to you. I'll guarantee you. You talk to God 30 minutes every day and do it sincerely and diligently, and I'll guarantee you God will talk to you. Guarantee. You say, well, I hear him with these ears? No, they're not good enough to hear with very well. They're not good receivers. But I'll guarantee you, I don't care who you are. Now, I don't mean go out in the woods and say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed. I don't mean all that kind of garbage or your garbage. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for the food. I'm talking about you go out somewhere and get alone and you earnestly and sincerely talk to God 30 minutes a day, and I'll guarantee you, God will talk to you. God's waiting for somebody to talk to him. How can God speak? God will speak if you'll look. God will speak if you'll do. God will speak if you'll call. Number four, I've got to hasten. I've got an hour and a half sermon. I've got to cut it down tonight to about an hour and 25 minutes. Word number four, take. Take. I want to say one little line about this and go to the next point. I love this. God never sends you anything. God brings you everything. So if you will take, he's right there. Brother Colston, you have any money, change? Have a dollar. Get it out. Don't just sit there. Get it out. All right. Now give it to me. Did I see him? Did I hear him? No. Do I know he was there?
Yeah, I could smell it.
Why? Because he brought me this dollar. God doesn't send anything. God brings everything. You'll take it, he's there. Word number one. Look, the heavens are trying to talk to you, but you don't listen. Word number two, do. Decide to obey him, whatever he says. Forget what the commandment is and decide who the commander is. Number three, call. Number four, take. Number five, hush. Shut up. Hush. Don't you recall when God came to the overwrought prophet Elijah? He wanted to talk to Elijah, and there was God sent an earthquake. The Bible says, but God was not in the earthquake. Then there came a great forest fire. God was not in the forest fire. But after the quiet, after the noise of the earthquake and the trembling of the earth, and after the flames of the fire, it all settled down. The Bible said God spoke to Elijah through a still, small voice. Hush. We in our urban society of concrete and steel and brick and mortar and plank and nails, we've got to be talking all the time. We've got to be partying all the time. You know, that's one thing wrong with Christmas. Nobody shuts up. Hush. Turn off your radio. Turn off your TV. Turn off your video. Turn off your tape recorder. Turn off your record player. Turn off your telephone. Turn off your walkie-talkie. Turn off your beeper. Turn off your computer. Turn off your CB. You know, we spend most of our money paying folks to talk to us. We get in the car so we can be alone with God and get a CB. So we can hear somebody cuss. We turn the radio on so we hear somebody talk. Hush! Just hush. Be still! And know that I'm God. That's why the old farmers used to walk get so close to God, they were quiet. We live in this hodgepodge of melting pot of human flesh. And somehow or other, we, to be secure, have to be around people. I told the 6,000 or 7,000 people I spoke to at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship, probably 3,000 or 4,000 preachers, I told them when I spoke to them this year, I said last night after the service, somebody came up and said, want to go out for some fellowship at Shoney's, that's a restaurant down south. Somebody else came up and said, Dr. Towns, how about going now for some fellowship with us at McDonald's? Somebody else came up and said, Dr. Towns, how about some fellowship at Burger King? And I said, I wonder why somebody doesn't say, I heard God say, how about some fellowship after service down beside the creek? The truth is, what we call fellowship is not fellowship. It's not fellowship. You want to go out to McDonald's after service tonight and talk about the book? That's fine. Talk about soul winning? That's fine. Talk about the Word of God? That's fine. But the honest, simple truth is, the average person in this room is not alone enough and quiet. And if you're alone, something's got to make a noise. Do you know that you don't have to have a tape player on all the time? You know, all these places I go to preach, one guy gets up and says, my records are back here. You can get two for $10. The guy gets up and says, my tapes are back here. And you get three for $10. I want to know where the table is that sells silence. I want to buy some quietness. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin does not molest near to the heart of God. I'm saying, if you'd shut up, God might talk to you. I'm saying there is a way that God will talk to you and you can hear him just as plainly as you're hearing my voice right now. You won't hear him with your ears, but you can develop spiritual ears, and you can have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith if you hush. Look, God speaking through nature. Do. Be willing to do whatever he says, and he'll give you a commandment. Call. Spend some time walking with him and talking with him, and he'll answer. Take. God never sends anything. He brings everything. Hush. Number 6, read. Read. He's talking. He's talking. Not only that, folks, listen. Not only will you find out what God says when you read this, but I'll guarantee you another thing, too. I'll guarantee you, you take 30 minutes a day to read this book. That's how long it takes to watch the ABC News. That's how long the Andy Griffith Show is. That's how long MASH is. You take 30 minutes a day to read that book. Now listen, I don't mean read it because you promised to. I mean read it intelligently and diligently and carefully. And I'll guarantee you, 30 minutes a day of diligently and earnestly reading this Bible sincerely from your heart, I'll guarantee you that God will develop ears you don't have, and you'll be able to, God will speak to you, and you will know God spoke to you. I said, did you hear him speak? Yeah, I heard him. With your ears? No, they're too carnal. They're flesh. They're depraved. Well, I got some ears that'll take with me to heaven. These ears are going to be in a casket someday. These eyes are going to be shut some. These ears won't hear always, but I've got some ears, thank God, that always will hear. I've got some eyes that will always see. I'm not talking about some kind of a vision because you had too many onions on your hamburger the night before. I'm not talking about that. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I don't understand it. I know you don't, because you don't look, you don't do, you don't call, you don't take, you don't hush, and you don't read. God's talking. God wants to tell you some things. He wants to tell you what's in the book. He wants to explain to you what's in the book. And then he wants to tell you some other things about his will. And God will speak to you. And he is speaking, if you would listen. Number 7. And that word is listen. I said got 7 one-syllable words. So it's listen. Listen. List. That's it. List. Stay out of my book. Yeah. Russell Anderson says he's not very smart. He doesn't like anything bigger than two-syllable words, like money, dividends, apartments. Listen. The Holy Spirit lives in you. What a day when he became real. When you believe he hears, hear me now, when you believe he hears, then you will hear. When you believe the Holy Spirit hears you, then you will hear the Holy Spirit. You say, to the house, I'll hear it. I'll hear it, actually hear it with my ears. No, you won't hear it with your ears. He doesn't speak to ears, but he speaks. And realizing that I'm risking sounding spooky again, I'll guarantee you there's not a day of my life of what God does not speak to me in some way, and I'm just as sure that God spoke to me as I am that you speak to me when you say good morning, Brother Hiles. But I say this not because I'm a good Christian, but because I got some sense and know where my bread's buttered, and I say it earnestly. God speaks to me, and I hear him speak. But I'll guarantee you a few things. I'll guarantee you. I look. I've looked today, this morning, before I ever walked in the office, I looked at God's nature and enjoyed his handiwork and heard him speak in the language that every
that everybody in every dialect and every language on earth and every race and every tribe can hear. I guarantee you I look. And I don't mean I just take a glance. And I'm not talking about looking at a potted plant in the house. I'm talking about I look. Our house has got more plants than the woods has got anyhow. Every once in a while a lion comes out from behind wildlife. But I'm saying that I'm talking about I look. I'm saying I take time. If God was willing to make a moon, I'm going to watch it. God is willing to let the sun rise, I'm going to watch it. Some of you folk don't even know the sun comes up gradually. God makes a sunset, I'm going to watch it. God puts the stars in the sky, I'm going to watch it. It bothers me. I was in an art gallery the other day, and everybody was standing around this beautiful picture. And a guy had painted a picture of a tree out in the yard in front of the art gallery. And everybody was looking at that beautiful painting. And I said, hey, folks, tree's out there. I don't understand that. There's the real thing. That's like looking at a picture of a Big Mac. When the Big Mac's sitting right there, he won't sit there for long. God speaks to me because I look. God speaks to me because I do. He speaks to me because I have faith in a person, not a commandment. Once you have faith in a person, you'll have faith in what he says. Most of us, we examine what everybody says. There are folks in this room tonight, and I'm not upset with anybody. There are folks in this room tonight, Brother Howell says it, they think it's true. Now that's not always the case. I was wrong in 1938 one night. I thought I was, but I realized I was wrong in thinking I was wrong. But there are folks that there are people in this room tonight think what Brother Howell says is true because Brother Howell says it. Now they know I'm human, but they think I'm going to be right more times than they're going to be right, so they take what I say. There are other folks tonight who come and examine what I say, and you'll say amen to everything you agree with. Nothing wrong with you. I love you. There are people the same way with God. God tells me to do it, I'll do it. Because God tells me to. Other people say, I'll obey the commandment if I have confidence in it. No, I'll obey the commandment if I have confidence in the one who gave it. God speaks to me because I call. Well, I wouldn't dare live a whole day without talking to God 30 minutes. Wouldn't think of it. And by the way, a lot more than 30 minutes. Wouldn't think of it. I've been getting a few letters lately. Some of our people that have encouraged my soul. Got a letter today from one of our fine members who told me, thanked me for the Wednesday night Bible study when I talked about praise and worship. And this dear member said that revolutionized my whole life. I got one yesterday, the same type letter, said I've never known the presence of God like I know it now because of your Bible studies. Got a note this morning. I was reading a note this afternoon. Somebody said, Brother Howell's God is more real to me now than he's ever been in my entire life. You've made this matter of walking with God seem so real. For the first time in my life, I know what it is to walk with God. I want to warn you, you better start walking with him because it won't be a Brother Howell someday. There's no Lester Roloff now. There's no John Rice now. I mean, here on earth, they're up there having a time, but not here. I mean, we got to walk without him. I want you to walk with God. I hunger for you to do it. I say God speaks to me. You know why? Because I look. God speaks to me. Why? Because I'll do what he says. God speaks to me because I call. God speaks to me because I take. Anything he'll give me, I take it. You know why? Because if I take it from him, he's right there. You know how what if I don't feel his presence? Take something from him. You have to feel it. I didn't feel Brother Colson's presence, but I felt the dollar. Oh, help me to feel the coast. Help me to feel your presence. Not me. Help me to feel your billfold. He's there. God speaks to me. You know why? Because I hush. I walk in a world of silence most of my life. Please don't misunderstand me, but everywhere I go, there are hundreds of people. I probably shouldn't say this. My enemies will like this, but I like to give you a little fodder every once in a while so you can have a little more garbage to chew on. Everywhere I go, there are hundreds of people. Give anything in the world, spend 10 minutes with me. That's the gospel truth. Everywhere I go, there are preachers that love to take me out to eat. I hardly ever do. Got a letter from a preacher up in New York State. Opened it yesterday afternoon. Said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I know you've heard as many bad things about me as I've heard good things about you." He proceeded to continue. I wrote him back and I dictated the letter. Put it in his Fort Wayne's box today, or Mr. McKinney's one. And I said, "Brother, I've never heard a bad thing about you. Because I don't hear bad things about anybody. I don't do that." I told him, I said, "I've never heard a bad thing about you. Because two reasons. Folks know I won't listen to bad things. So they don't tell me. Number two, if they start to tell me, I get up and walk off. I'm alone a lot. If you don't listen to folks tell bad things, you pretty well got to be alone. That's the truth. Because most everybody's telling bad things. I'm so sick of this old world. I'm so sick of the newspapers, I don't know what to do. Mr. Reagan can make one mistake and that's all you read about in the newspapers. Why doesn't somebody publish a few of the good things he's done?" I do. Why? Because the press is exactly like you. Only difference in you and the press, they got a newspaper and you haven't. You got a tongue. Just like you. Be alone. Be quiet. Hush. God speaks to me. You know why? Because I read that book. I'll be on the airplane sometime reading that book. All of a sudden, God will reveal a truth about a certain scripture to me, and I'll have a holy hissy. It's not a good word. Hersey. Holy fit. Yeah. Stay out of my preaching. Holy fit. Yeah, I'll say, "Glory to God." The fellow beside me will say, "Glory to what?" I'll say, "God." He'll say, "Why?" I said, "You ask me, I'll show you." Yeah. Read! You want God to speak? He's speaking. You'd look. He's speaking. You'd hush. He's speaking. You'd call. He's speaking. You'd take. He's speaking. If you'd listen, he's speaking. If you'd read. Very simple message. Ah, but listen. So needed. You could not know the thrill I get. I'm going to get letters like I've gotten three or four of them in the last week. You couldn't know. When somebody in the church writes me a note and says, "Brother Hiles, for the first time in my life, I know what it is to walk with God. You've taught me how to walk with Him. Brother Hiles, I've never have in my life before ever taken a set time to praise God, but I do now. It's just God in me. Brother Hiles, I worship Him now. I mean, I absolutely tell Him how great He is. And Brother Hiles, my whole life has been transformed. I hunger for the day when all the faces that I see here tonight and from week to week, I hunger for the day when you'll know what they're talking about." Bottom of the letter, one of our fine men wrote me, thanked me for the Bible studies and the preaching. He said, "God," and by the way, this man's older than I am. He said, "God has been more real to me in recent weeks than in my lifetime ever."